listening to Clifford Kelly on Straight Truth Radio, the podcast.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Straight Truth Radio Podcast, the place where the lip of truth endures forever. I'm your host, Cliff Kelly. Thank you for tuning in again. Another week where we get to inform you about or try and educate you and let you know, inform you about the things that are happening in eschatology. Again, this is the place where the lip of truth endures forever. We just give it to you real, the straight truth. Just trying to bring an understanding to end time events. We are not going to waste any time. We're going to dive right into this episode. This episode we are calling The Conflict, and in the conflict, we are really still. Talking about where we left you last week somewhat. We were talking about the seven trumpets, and we gave you from our degree of understanding the interpretation of what those trumpets were. But I want to kind of continue where we left off last week. Last week, when we closed, we began to read from Matthew 24, and we have always used Matthew 24 in the past. If you've paid attention to this platform, we have always talked about this particular chapter and verse as it pertained to what was happening in the end times. But just before I go there, and I'm going to see if I can go ahead, if I can find this verse again. We had it before. Let me go back here and see if I can find this verse. In Isaiah, the 17th chapter, there's a verse. Let me go here. Isaiah 17. And I didn't have it bookmarked, but the wonderful thing about the news is, and when you read the Bible, you work to try and understand the Bible, and articulate what the Bible is saying. You see things that are happening, and one of the things that I noticed when we look at what's happening and where it's happening at, I really, really, really began to say, wow, this kind of makes sense, and we can see these things happening in our time. So there's one verse here in Isaiah, and then we're going to go back to Matthew 24, which is where I wanted to start from. But in Isaiah chapter 17, remember, I said that when we looked at how Israel was being attacked, they were being attacked from the south, Hamas, being attacked from the north by Hezbollah, and all of that was and their arsenal was being funded to them through Iran. Now you know, people want to say, oh, there's no proof of that. They can prove, and they've already proven it in some manner. When it's really time to come forth and bring their evidence forth, I'm sure they will. But they know that their arsenal is coming from Hamas and Hezbollah, that is coming from Iran. But they also were being attacked from Lebanon, and so when I saw this in scripture, I stood back and said, wow, these things are really coming to pass. So we see here in chapter 17, and again, I'm just reading a verse here. chapter 17, verse 1 in Isaiah. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Now, I'm keeping that verse in mind. In fact, and there's another verse here. I want to go to, I think it's Zephaniah. Zephaniah, and I think it's chapter 2. And right here in verse 4, and it says right here, I'm going to back up. Let me start back here. I'm going to start at verse 1, but I really want to target verse 4. And it says, gather yourself together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which hath wrath with judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Listen to this. So we see that the Lord is angry and he's about to bring judgment. Now watch this, verse 4. For Gaza shall be forsaken, Ascalon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Akron shall be rooted up. Now, what I want to share with you and show you that we're looking at, when we look at these cities, these are cities that have stood for thousands of years. I want you to think about this. Look how old the Bible is. And we're talking about cities. Gaza, is Gaza still not there? Ascalon, is Ascalon still not there? We're seeing the tragedy that is that is coming to the, now. If we're seeing tragedy that's coming to this city now. Now, if they didn't exist, if it were not so, these cities would have been destroyed already, and we would know. We would be trying to figure out, hey, what is the name of this city? Where was it at? And what is it known today as? No, these cities still stand in their original name, in their original place from the Bible days until now. But watch, now God is beginning to exact judgment. And so we're told, verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. He's not talking to just a certain section of people. He said, all ye meek of the earth. So he's not dealing with just a nation of people in a certain land. Because he says, which is wroth with his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be, now watch this, if you seek righteousness, if you seek meekness, watch this, it may be ye shall be hid from the day of the Lord's anger. So we're told that we should seek his righteousness, that we should seek meekness, so then that we can be hid from the judgment that is coming from the Lord. Now, you want to say, somebody might argue and say, hey, and that's not God's judgment. That's two nations that's mad with each other and they taking it out on each other and they're at war. Well, guess what? The Bible also tells us that God will put a hook in the nose of Israel's enemies and bring them into a land to war. He's going to bring them into a land. So we see an example of that right here. So now There's this other issue. There's this other issue that, you know, the Palestinians have been such an abused people because of how Israel has treated them, and you know, and there should be some two-state solution, and you know, and Israel, you know, this stuff that's happening to Israel, you know, they deserve this. Now, that kind of thinking comes from, best way I can say it is from ignorant, lazy people who have not taken time to read and study the scripture. Watch this. Let me back you up here. Let's go to Genesis, chapter 15, because I want to show you something here. I want to show you a promise that the Lord gave to Abraham. Chapter 15. And I was, I had the fortune to, and I want to say praise the Lord to all of my brothers and sisters at the WCAN network, Canon Wayne Fitzpatrick, and all of the brethren there, Bishop Samuel Hampton II, all of my brethren there, the Abrahamic Temple Diocese. And on Friday, we had an opportunity to be on that show and on that network. And we were just really, we were talking about the times. We were talking about a lot of things, you know, what I'm involved with personally and the things that I'm involved in. And we were talking about these times here, the times that we're in. And so, so in chapter 15, and I'm trying to find the exact verse here. So let me start here at verse, a little bit of reading. So he says, see, let me start at verse 16 and chapter 15 and verse 16. But in the fourth generation, there shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, the smoky furnace and the burning lamp that passes through between those pieces. And in the same day, watch this, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river of the river Euphrates. So I want you to see the land that is there now. God made a covenant with Abram that his descendants, that he would give them a land. Now the people who are in the land and they're already possessing it, you know, they're not just gonna move out and say, well, yeah, we heard your God gave you this land, so I guess we got to pack up and leave. No, people who don't, when God blesses us abundantly with things, you know, there are spirits and people who operate out of those spirits who do not want to see us prosper and the blessing that God has given us. So we are challenged when we are blessed by, you know, with things or possessions or whatever. But in this case, even though God made a covenant with Abram that his descendants, that his seed, that he was going to give them a land, in the heavenlies deeded them land from the river of Egypt all the way to the river of the Euphrates. Now that is the entire land that Israel and that the Palestinians and that the, you know, that they're living on now. There was no time in their history, Israel's history, where they really possessed all that God given them. In fact, when you do a history check, you'll see that only under the days of King David, the 40-year reign of King David, was the time that they really possessed most of the land that God had promised them. That they actually lived on most of that land that God had promised them. And then when you go to Numbers, and I believe it's Numbers 14, you find out generations later when Moses sends out the 12 spies, this is the land that they're spying out. It is the land that they remember that God promised Father Abraham, and he sent 12 spies to spy out the land. And when they spy out the land, they see that that there were giants in the land, and that, you know, and when they came back, remember, only two of them had a good report. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go up at once. Let's not waste any time. Let's go. Let's go take this now. We are well able to possess it. But then there were 10, the other 10, who gave a negative report and said that we are not able to possess it. That these inhabitants, they eat their own, they devour their own. We're grasshoppers in their sight, and so were we in theirs. In other words, it's saying, you know, we too small and weak, and they look at us as if we're small and weak. But we don't see anywhere in Scripture where they even had a conversation about this land. Where did they get the notion that in their eyes that them that that the people of Israel, the people of the children of Abraham were small little grasshoppers, not able to possess the land? And so because they had a small image about themselves, a negative image about themselves, because they would not go and possess the land that God promised them. And when you continue to read that scripture, I believe that's Numbers 14, isn't it? Because I wanted to go somewhere else, but I find myself talking about this. So let me see exactly. We find that when those 10 gave such a negative report, then the whole camp cried. And they right here, Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. All because there were negative people who went with Joshua and Caleb to spy out the land, to now look at what God said was theirs. He gave them that land. And so now we bring it up to this day. When we do not take advantage, when we do not take advantage of the things that God has given us, when we fail to take advantage of the things that God has given us, the opportunity that God has given us, when we sleep on taking out our enemy, then your enemy will grow to take you out. And so now, I don't have time to go through the scripture, but you know, the Lord warned them that the people that you would not take out when he told you to do it, because you were well able to do it, that they're going to be pricks in your eyes. And so when we don't take advantage to move on the things that God has caused us to do, and I'm not talking about God telling us to go kill somebody and take somebody out. No. We're talking about that reference. I'm talking about in Bible days and fulfilling the promise that God has given them, because God was trying to use a people to bless the earth. Because watch this. We go back and read the scripture again. He said, when God made man, he said, and let them have dominion. So the earth was made for man. The earth was made for man. The earth was made for man. And when you don't take advantage of the opportunities that God has laid before you, there's a window of opportunity. And when you don't take the opportunity to possess that opportunity, capitalize on that opportunity, do the things that God has given you in that window, then the thing that you were supposed to conquer, it will turn around and conquer you. And so again, we see the drama that Israel is facing today, the dilemma that Israel is facing today. God had promised. Let me go over here again. We go back over here to Matthew 24, where we had left off last week. And we started out, well, I didn't actually start back that far, but remember, we're reading through Matthew 24 and giving you an answer as to why these things are happening, because the disciples asked the question. In the very beginning, the disciples asked the question, because again, when I normally set this up, I tell you the story about how the disciples, Jesus had just finished teaching, and the disciples come to Jesus to show him what Herod is doing with the temple, how he's improving it and making it, you know, and just beautifying it. And they were just so amazed. And Jesus told them, not one stone will be that you're looking here. Now, one stone will be laid upon another. And they were so flabbergasted. They said, well, and they turned around, and when they got with Jesus privately, he asked them, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And as we begin to read, we said, I think I left off here at verse 5. And so he said, the very first thing Jesus said when they asked the question is, take heed that no man deceive you. There would be a lot of deception in today's time. A lot of deception. One deception is that it don't take all that. You know, when someone is telling you that, listen, you must repent of your sins, you must be baptized in Jesus' name, you must be filled with God's precious spirit, you must be filled. And you say, well, it don't take all that. Well, Jesus said that I go away. If I don't go away, the comforter won't come, but I'm going away. The Comforter is coming, and it's coming in my name. In my name. And then he tells you what the Comforter is. That the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And so, but let me finish. Let's finish here. Let's go a little further here in Matthew 24. So again, I left off here. He said, for many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and deceive many. It's not saying that everybody's going to be coming down talking about, I'm Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm Jesus Christ. No, I'm Jesus Christ. He said, no, that's not necessarily what he's saying. But everybody will come. There'll be a whole bunch of folk tagging, you know, well, I'm anointed of God, and I'm anointed of God, and I'm a Christian, and I'm this, and I'm, and that's why I say, I'm not a Christian. Cliff Kelly, I don't go around tagging myself as a Christian. I don't. I don't want anyone to be surprised And if you listen to me at any point in time, you know I've been saying this for years anyway. I do not dub myself as a Christian. And I want that to sink in. Cliff Kelly does not dub himself as a Christian. Now, the Christian is the tagline for those who follow Christ. Sure. Sure. They want to be. In fact, that is the tag that in the book of Acts of those that set of believers who were following Christ. That was the tag that they were given. They're Christians. They try to be like Christ. They want to be like Christ. So they're Christians. But to be honest, from Deuteronomy is the first mention of it. From Deuteronomy all the way through Revelation, we had already been given a class, a distinction, a title, if it were, a name, if it were. We were called saints. We were called to be saints. And so that's what I am. I am a saint of the Lord, one of the saints of the Lord. So I don't walk around, you know, using that Christian tag all the time. I try as much as possible not to use it. And some as you're talking in some vernacular way, it makes it hard not to say it. But if you know me, you understand what I'm saying. Let's get back in here because we're going to close here. We're going to wrap up because what's happening right now, we find here verse 6 and Matthew 24, verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So even though we see all this trouble happening in Israel, what a terrible thing that we have seen to see Hamas. And again, not Palestine, not the Palestinians, but a terror group, Hamas, attacking Israel, attacking children, attacking the elderly, kidnapping the women and some children, and some of the men, only to brutally treat them unfairly and do what they are, you know, and do what they're doing to them. It's not a nation of people. It's not a nationality or a nation of people. It's a group within that nationality or nation of people. And so they have their own people as much as hostage and troubled as they do this and as they do the Jews. But let's continue to read again. But the end is not yet. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation. Nation, when I told you about this nation rising against nation, we refer to that as being, there's your racism right there. That is your racism. When one nation of people denigrates another nation of people, another race of people. And kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And verse 8, here it is. All these things are just the beginning. It's just the beginning of sorrow. So when you see, and a nod to Canon Fitzpatrick again, when we were on his show Friday, just this past Friday, he made a comment. He said, when we see all these things happen, and you see some of us just walking around all calm, cool, and collected, and all this trouble is happening and chaos, and everybody is, and they're pulling their hair out, and you walking around just cool as you can be, you know. He said, why is that? Because we understand. We get it. You know, when, you know, everybody else is you know, has have their, you know, their tail in the frizzy, you know, in the tizzy rather, and don't know what's going on and what happens next, and everybody's crying for peace. But guess what? There's not going to be peace. Now, there'll be a temporary sense of peace, a deceptive sense of peace. And remember, what was the first thing that Jesus told his disciples when they asked the question, hey, when shall, you know, what shall be the sign of your coming? When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. People are going to be running, looking for peace, looking for peace to happen. But it is not going to happen. There will not be peace on earth, a temporary sense of peace. Remember, the Bible tells us when they should say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So we have to remember, and amen, Pastor Maya Kelly, the word of God does prepare us. It prepares us. And so we have to get in this book. Find you a good Bible-believing church. Someone who, you know, there's a lot of churches out here, you know, but are they Bible-believing church? Are they just a good message, a feel-good place to go? Somewhere where you can just shout and feel free for, you know, for a couple of minutes, for a couple of hours. But how is that going to sustain you through the rest of the week when you see all this stuff happening? I heard someone say, somebody who was in church said, why would God let all these things happen? How could this be? And I'm thinking, you haven't studied your Bible. You haven't read the scriptures. You don't understand that this is going to happen. It's going to happen. God's word is forever established in heaven. It's already happened. And God said, so shall my word be which goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereinto I sent it. He said, my word won't come out of my mouth. Why won't his word return unto him void? Because watch this. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God is his word, and the word is God. And when we read the word of God, we're reading God. Now, the problem is you cannot intellectually understand God. And we just said on the Daily Dish talk show that Friday evening, he said, watch this. When John was on the Isle of Patmos and he was writing the book of Revelations, remember, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now, whatever day you want to say that was, he was in the spirit. That's the key thing. He was in the spirit. Not about, well, what day was that? No. What was his position on that day? Now, that's the post. That's the tweet. Not about what day was John in the spirit. No. No. Not what day was he in the spirit. What was his position on that day? He was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and he wrote as God gave him what he gave him to write. And if John was in the spirit, then don't you think that you and I need to also operate according to the spirit in order to understand this word here? Jesus said, in order to worship him, we must do it in spirit and in truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. So we understand that God is true and he cannot lie. And so we have to understand, you know, we got to get back to, and I'm afraid to say that there is going to be tragedy that will hit us or seemingly have to hit us to kind of wake some of us up. To kind of wake some of us up and get us back into a place where, remember when 9-1-1 happened? Everybody went back to church for about 2-3 weeks. Maybe a good month. Maybe, I'm pushing it, a good month. And then we were back out doing what we do again. We got lazy. Do we have to wait for tragedy to happen all of the time to scare us into the truth? That shouldn't be. There's no true blessing in that. And so, let's try and dive back into and getting back into a place of God, because we want his blessing, because we want his favor, not because we've been scared into it. But remember, we told you that these things, we tried to warn you that these things were going to happen, and it was going to happen in our lifetime. In our lifetime, we tried to warn you. So again, verse 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall hate you, all nations, for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise. And again, he says it again, and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, because a lifestyle of sin. Remember, watch this. The Bible says that anything that is not faith is sin. Wife preached today, and that's one of the verses that she brought out. Anything that is not faith is sin. And so, because iniquity shall abound, backslidden children, just because sin shall abound, gross sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm going to pause there, and we'll continue out of Matthew 24 next week. Remember, he that endureth until the end, we're going to have challenges as we see the day approaching and the things that are happening. Sure. I know people are praying for Israel, and I hear both sides of the argument. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Israel. We're supposed to pray. That's what the Bible say. And then over here on this side, what are you praying for? Would you praying away the will of God? You can't do that. We just said God's word is forever established in heaven. It's gonna come to pass. Everything has to happen. I just told you in verse 6, he says, for the tail end of verse 6 in chapter 24, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So again, we're going to pause here. We're going to stop here. Remember, this is the Straight Truth Radio podcast, and I want to thank you again for tuning in each week. Again, we are just trying to make sure you are aware of what's happening in these last days. Remember, hold on to him that is able to keep you from failing and from falling. Remember, we are not sinless, but we sin less. because of him who became sin for us. Again, this is the Straight Truth Radio podcast, the place where to look for truth and do us forever. I'm your host, Cliff Kelly. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you at this same time next week. Until then, God bless you.